It's time for Sports Talk with Mike and the Crisis. Log on to KAZM Radio/sports or follow along on Twitter at KAZM Sports. And now here's your hosts, Mike Tabak and Rob Liscotto.
Sports fans, glad to have you with us. It is Sports Talk. It is ESPN 780 KAZM. Glad to have you. I am seriously glad to have you. No, seriously. Yeah, you know I'm lying. I couldn't care less. I'm going to talk whether they're listening or not. You know?
Love it, man.
I do. Anywho, welcome in. I am Mike. He is the Crisis. Mike Tabak and Rob Liscotto here with you, and somehow, some way, I'm convinced there is a football game in Phoenix tonight. Am I right about that?
Kind of quiet about it, huh? I mean, I saw a bunch of it this morning, but for last week.
I was down in Phoenix over the weekend. There's nothing quiet about it. The
place big down
is
there?
Booming.
Oh, wow.
Booming. Yeah, I mean, it is. And I was in downtown Phoenix. It wasn't in Glendale where it's really booming. So, but just, you know, Alabama, Clemson people everywhere. You know, I'm a diehard sports fan of a lot of things, the Green Bay Packers especially. I don't go anywhere with like four Green Bay Packer flags hanging out my windows and head to toe green and gold.
You don't do that?
Don't do that. Even if I was going to the game at Lambeau, I may not do that. You know what I mean? But just like road trip and everywhere you go for the next week and a half that you're in Arizona, you're going everywhere in your Clemson orange and your paw print magnets on your doors and stuff like that.
You're not a face painter?
Not a face painter. Going to be honest. Just doesn't happen. I'm always afraid that I'll paint my face and forget about it. Show up to work the next day. But, oh, damn.
I learned my lesson doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I went to the Miami Dolphins, San Francisco 49er Super Bowl.
83?
In Palo Alto.
Was that 83?
It was 85. Marino got drafted in 83, so it was 84.
84, yeah. So 84 was the year, and then 85 was the Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah. So if you guys don't know, Palo Alto is maybe 25 minutes north of San Francisco. I mean, yeah. It's right there.
Yeah.
Might as well have been a home game for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Why they had it in Palo Alto Stadium, I have no idea.
That was an interesting one. That was when they didn't care that it wasn't an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to have it in a cold weather area.
And it was cold. It was raining and cold the whole time.
Yeah.
So I didn't paint my face, but I've got my Dolphin hat on, my Dolphin jacket on. You know what I mean? We had stickers on we rented a car and we put Dolphin stickers all over the car. And we were Dolphined out.
Yeah.
The mile and a half walk from the parking lot to the stadium and back home, back after, was the worst mile and a half walk you could ever have in a home field advantage town like that. They were throwing stuff before the game.
49er fans have been SOBs forever, man.
They were throwing stuff at us, spitting on us, I mean, pouring beers on, and there's nothing you could do about it because you can get in a fight. But you're outnumbered, outnumbered thousands to one, and it was the most.
Man.
So I wore a ball cap if I'm a true fan of something occasionally, but I'll never dress in garb again. So I totally get what you mean.
Yeah, you don't want to stand out that much.
No way, man.
Wow.
No way.
I can get along with it. I don't mind it. I think it's bad enough when you show up at the game and you're like head to toe, in garb. But it's another thing to go to the game and be like dressed up like Mardi Gras style.
Right.
Like, you know, black hole. You have, you know, foam shoulder pads on and your face painted like a skeleton skull. And you have if you're at the, you know, the Raider games, you're dressed like the pirate, with the Road Warrior shoulder pads on and spikes coming out of them and stuff like that. That's over the top. If you're, the Viking guy that shows up. And by the way, that Viking guy wasn't in shape in the 80s. I don't know what the hell happened to that guy, but every year he put on a bigger and bigger beer gut and got uglier and uglier and worse and worse tone. And it got to be pretty embarrassing after a while, but I wouldn't do that stuff. Fireman Fred, is that was his name with the Jets? That was bad enough, and he quit.
He quit.
Came back though. He came back this year. He's like, he sat at home last year. He said, "Man, this sucks. I got to get out of the house on Sunday. The wife is killing me." So he came back, but that's a guy that has a Jets jersey and a Jets fireman hat. That's nothing,
right?
But still, a little over the top. But everybody's out and in full force, man. I'll tell you what, they're all over the place. And you should see the way these people look at one another when they're at the hotels and stuff. I was at the Hilton down in downtown Phoenix over the weekend. And there's we're in the buffet line there at breakfast, you know. And there's the Clemson fans in front of me all got their orange garb on and stuff. And then Bama fans behind me. And these people are like looking at each other like, should I say something? You know, should we talk game? You know, it wasn't like they were it wasn't like if you go to a Giants Dodgers game where you just want to yell at one another.
Right.
It wasn't like 49ers Raiders mm-hmm. or something like that, where they just want to yell at one another. They don't even care if there makes sense. There was a kind of an interesting thing where you could tell they kind of respected that everybody drove all this way. Alabama and South Carolina is a long way away
absolutely.
To come for a football game.
Absolutely.
And they all came out. So it was kind of like a little nod, like, I'd like to talk to you because I respect that you just did what I just did, which mm-hmm. is drive cross country for a football game, but you're wearing red and I hate you for it. That's all that within a head nod.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
That's what you got going on here.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. So the stadium is going to hold 72,200 seats. Okay, it's going to be closed up. The temperature is going to be 49 degrees tonight, it says down there. Wow, in Phoenix, 49 degrees. That's cold.
A little
cold.
Chilly, yeah.
Almost 72,200 seats, right? It has 77 public restrooms.
Hello!
Is that enough? Is there a ratio of restrooms?
You've been in there. You've been to those restrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
There are 77 public restrooms that fit 100 people at a time. So, you know.
I'm still thinking you're short.
You could probably throw about 8,000 people in the toilet at one time.
47 concession stands.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Doesn't
for
seem
72,
like it.
2,000 people?
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
Holy smokes.
Wow.
They didn't think that through.
But you've been there.
Yeah.
And I've never had a problem.
Well, I'm always at the press area.
Right.
Right there. I never worry about that, but it's
weird. True. Me too. I'm usually up in the press box area or in the suites, you know. But if you're down like field level and stuff like that, I've never had a problem getting a beverage or some food in a short amount of time.
What about going to the bathroom?
I usually just pee right there at my seat. I don't. I keep a water noise. No, actually, there it's pretty good amount of restrooms, and they all flow through. You know, it's like any public stadium restroom. You know, if you're a guy, you're going to be peeing in front of 15 other guys all in the same trough. You know what I mean? So if you can't get over that, then don't go to a professional sporting event or college, I guess, for that matter. But stay at home in your own confines. And I, you know, there's something to be said for when you go, like you remember going to that Super Bowl and being there with your, you know, Dolphins playing.
Right.
And it was this horrific thing where you guys mm-hmm. got handled. But you remember that. And that's kind of one of those things that fans love. They just love to say, hey, you know what? I was there. I was at that game, or I was at this one, or I was at that one. Honestly, though, I prefer to watch sports on television. I don't have to worry about fans. I don't have to worry about parking. I don't have to worry about idiots. The beer is always cold and the bathroom's always open.
Right.
You know? So it's hard for me to sit there and say, boy, I can't believe I missed that game or whatever, because I you see better. I mean, you know what I mean? Depending mm-hmm. on where your seats are, you're not going to see the whole game,
No.
You don't see it up close enough. You have to be watching it on high-def television to see everything. Now, the cameras are always working, and they've got the scoreboard there that's, you know, 100 yards long, and you can see everything as it's going on in the Cardinal Stadium, so you're not going to miss anything by being there. But it is interesting how the one thing that we still draw from all that is, boy, I was at this game when this happened, or I was at the game when this happened. And we, honestly, looking back at it, couldn't remember the score or anything like that. It was, you know, it was just one of those things. Like, I remember, do you remember Jose Offerman when he played shortstop for the,
sure.
for the Los Angeles Dodgers years ago? He made one of the, well, it wasn't actually his blunder. He's the one that scored the run, but Larry Walker was playing right field for the Expos, had a ball at Dodger Stadium hit out to him. He caught it was while he was running towards the foul line, stops and hands the ball to a kid in the front row. Well, there's only two outs.
All right.
So Offerman's on first base, starts running. So he has to, he's jogging in thinking, I just caught the third out, no problem. He's like, holy crap. He has to turn around. He runs back out to where the kid is and steals the ball back out of his hand. And the kid looks mortified, you know? He grabs the ball, he throws it back in, and Offerman scores from first, and, right. and it ends up being one of what, you know, runs that it helped the Dodgers win that day. Larry Walker felt horrible. He sent autographed bat, hat, jersey, mm-hmm. everything he could find in the clubhouse, autographed it and sent it out to the kid, and the kid was fine. But it was just the most surreal thing, and that was like the biggest blunder anybody had seen in baseball in years, and it stuck that way for like 10 or 15 years afterwards, where when I told people I was at the game, Larry Walker, you know, thought he had mm-hmm. the third out and handed the ball to the kid and then stole it back from him. Because the look on the kid's face, the kid was crying.
Yeah,
the kid was crushed. He was crying.
Imagine.
He got the ball taken back from him. He was like, what did I do? Did I not say thank you? Is that why you took it back? You know, the kid look on the kid's face, mm-hmm. it was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So he ended up making it all right. But forever, I was like, I was at that game. I was at that game. And I don't remember squat about the game. You know what I mean? I just remember that one play. So if something special happens and you get to forever say that you were there
sure.
when that happened, that's awesome. But if it's just playoff game, whatever, or even if it's you know, if it's just you know, you win the NFC championship, you win the division, whatever it is, those kind of come and go. Super Bowl, different story. If your team wins, forever say I was at that game. If your team loses, you have memories of going in and out of the stadium
sure.
in your Dolphins garb. You don't have memories of how close the game was or how great a game was.
Well, I've gone to a bunch of Miami Hurricane National Championship games, and,
okay.
and we've lost some and we've won some, you know.
Yeah.
And I went to the Penn State one where we lost. I went
right.
to the one where we lost Ohio
that
State.
That was Fiesta, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that,
yeah. We lost at Ohio State in Fiesta yeah. also. You know what I mean? So we've lost, I mean, but I remember all those games and
yeah.
it, I went to the Rose Bowl when we destroyed Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, those kind of things I really like doing, but I agree. I think watching it at home is a million times better. It's a million times more comfortable.
Yeah.
But these are kind of events that I do with my friends. If Miami gets to be prominent again, they'll call me and they'll, you know, we'll get together and do a championship
yeah.
game eventually again. And we'll just, the things that we do, but. When I'm sitting there watching a game, I'm thinking to myself, I would rather much be at home watching it. You know what I mean?
I think
but I'm having a blast
thing.
With my friends.
Third quarter, I'm having a
yeah,
couple of beers.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to drive home.
Yeah, now. Exactly.
Yeah,
mean,
it's like, oh, should I leave now? I know the game's not over yet, but I really don't want to fight with the crowd.
Yeah.
I should just go.
Exactly.
It's
what
yeah,
you go through.
It's difficult when you think about it that way. I went to the Cardinals-Packers game. If that's what you want to call it. I'm not sure the Packers showed up. But
you going to this one?
No, I won't be going to this one. But no, I've learned my lesson. I'm not going anywhere near that fiasco. But, you know, we're down there, and I'm getting a couple of souvenirs and stuff, and it's I'm paying $40. $40 for a cap.
Yep.
For a hat that says NFC West Champs on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm sorry, how much?
Mm-hmm.
When he said $40, I was expecting him to say 14. I was like, what do you mean 40?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you mean 14? You know, and he, no, 40. I couldn't believe it. You know, but that's what they do at the stadium. They rake you over the coals, so.
Yeah, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, at about the point where you're paying for your second beer and you realize you just blew a 20 and you didn't even tip the guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, that's just, it's too expensive. All right, so national championship game, we'll talk about it. Clemson, Alabama tonight down there. In fact, this next hour, you will go into the pregame show, and we'll bring you all the coverage here on ESPN 780 KAZM. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have plenty more. We'll discuss the wild card round in the NFL playoffs. For all of you Viking fans that wanted to rub it in my face that the Packers lost the NFC North, you can kiss my ass. Because we will be playing next week. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be so violent, but man, do the frickin' Viking fans come out of the woodwork. Win one division. We've been doing it for years. Win one division, though. Man, Viking fans out of every nook and cranny.
You got to act like you've been there before.
Oh, classless. The amount of Facebook trash out there. Do
you like my post?
That was fantastic. Rob sends me this post to this video of some guy in his little Adrian Peterson jersey watching Blair Walsh miss the field goal. The guy flies out of his chair, lands right on his face.
It doesn't move.
And the dog just like comes over to look at him like,
"You all right, man?
Dude, you all right? You don't look so good." I halfway expected the dog just to lift a leg and pee on the back.
That would have been perfect.
That would have sealed the deal for this guy. Oh, it was classic stuff. Man, but I'm telling you, the Viking fans, good God. And it was like crickets. They're all over the internet. Oh, we're up on Seattle 9-0. That's right. We're going to the freaking Super Bowl. And then 20 minutes later, you can't find a Viking fan anywhere in the world. It's like, where's Waldo? All of a sudden, they're all gone. You know? It's amazing. Take it like men, you Viking fans. Good God. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more at Sports Talk. 780 KZM, ESPN Radio, back after this. Welcome back in. Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM. All four of the playoff games from the weekend, the road team, the wild card team won. This is the team that did not win their division. This is the team that was on the road for their wild card round. And yet, boom, they win. Unreal. When you look at it like that, it's just unreal.
Has that happened before? Is this something?
I don't think we've ever seen a perfect round like that where all of the add-on teams, the wild card recipients, not the division leaders, all of the wild card guys won. It was pretty bad. All road teams victors yesterday and on Saturday in the NFL. We start off with the Chiefs, who couldn't win their division because the Broncos did. Although the Chiefs are the hottest team in the NFL. They had won 10 straight going into the playoffs. They put a severe beatdown on J.J. Watt and company in Houston. And people are really kind of growing tired of J.J. Watt's antics. Have you heard about that stuff? There's some people that are really, you know, and you and I have been talking about this for a while. It was like, we kind of like J.J. Watt, but we don't like the kind of carrying on he does on the field. And there's two people talking about, that whole antic of him being this incredible football player has to do everything. They put him in the Wildcat to run a sneak, and it got shut down. I mean, why on earth is your first-rate offense not out there? Why is, granted, Hoyer had thrown more balls to Kansas City than he did to his own guys, but why isn't your number one offense out there trying to score? Why isn't now Diggs running that, or Davis running that ball, You're going to give it to J.J. Watt to run a quarterback sneak? Where do you think the ball's going? I don't know. Follow the big guy where 99?
That's something that they worked on, and I don't know. I can't tell you.
It just seems like such a gimmick.
It is.
Doesn't it?
It is.
I mean, this is like worse than Refrigerator Perry gimmick. You remember that?
Yeah.
When the Bears were lighting it up, they had the big, fat defensive guy named Refrigerator Perry, William Perry. We all know the stories. And he was doing Big Mac commercials. Remember, he's eating Big Macs in single bites. Marketing sensation that he turned into, because he was one of maybe a couple guys in the NFL who was over 300 pounds.
Right, at that time.
At that time, and he was athletic. They started using him as a running back or a fullback on their goal line team. And we've seen this. Warren Sapp has done it. B.J. Raji's done it. You have this overload guy, this big, heavy guy that has some pretty good athleticism. You put him in as a blocker or a fullback, and you give him the ball or you let him be the lead blocker. And they did that with Perry a number of times, and he scored touchdowns and stuff, and it became this whole sensation. This guy could do everything. He could play defense. He could play offense. Mind you, he wasn't even the defensive player of the year. That was his teammate, Richard Dent. But I digress. Same kind of thing here with J.J. Watt. Oh, he's the MVP. He's the best football player on the planet. Well, he didn't win the MVP. Aaron Rodgers did. And this year, he's not going to win it either. But we're starting to see him run out of the backfield and they're throwing balls to him, you know, and now he's trying to play quarterback on the goal line. It's like, it just seems like such a gimmick to me.
Well, when you don't have, I mean, Hoyer, first of all, isn't going to be there. I mean, he's not the quarterback for the future. Starting running back's gone. I don't know. You know, I think it's very gimmicky. The thing with Refrigerator Perry, I remember the Bears getting some slack because Peyton didn't score in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Remember Perry
scored. Handed off to Perry, and Perry dove Peyton's over the line.
Great career, and there's no Super Bowl touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, so that was one of the things that I remember that out of all that stuff.
But I remember, you know, after that, the coach even said, Dick even said it was one of his greatest mistakes of his life was not handing the ball to Walter Payton there. He said, I didn't even think about it. We were just rolling, and all I wanted to do was score a touchdown. I thought, these guys can't stop this guy if we did this play. And he says, if I had looked back at it and thought about the impact of the moment, then he said, I would have done it. But you're right. It was just kind of, that was one of those things, too. It was fun while it lasted. Then you start to realize the mistakes that you're making by allowing that stuff to go on. What happens if J.J. takes a helmet to the knee and he's gone for a year?
What happens when he pulls his groin?
Yeah. Well, right.
He did that.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, those kind of things happen with stupid things you're not used to doing.
Right.
But maybe that's something they set up. Maybe it was a 2-point conversion try that they've been working on for the whole year. Maybe he throws out of that sometimes. You never know they want to have in store. But yeah, I when I saw it, I was like, the play I did like was the 4-receiver box to the left from the Redskins when the quarterback just walked right into the end zone. That was a heck of a play. It was designed for a quarterback draw.
Yeah.
Did you see that against Green Bay? And Green Bay, they weren't prepared for that. They should have called a timeout on that play. But they weren't prepared.
Yeah. They were prepared for the screen. They thought he was going to throw the bubble.
That's what they thought. But once the middle was clear
over there, yeah.
So, okay. So that's a kind of a good play. You know what I mean? So what the Texans did, stupid.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was no creative thing going to happen there.
No,
he wasn't going to do anything else, but just get the ball.
You're hoping he throws that ball.
Yeah,
it's J.J. Watt.
He might throw the ball. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, you're hoping he does, though. What's the accuracy going to be?
I'm thinking it might be a good call. If he takes 2 steps up to the line, a la Tim Tebow used to do.
He does a little jump pass.
I don't know about even a jump pass. Just takes 2 steps.
He doesn't need to jump.
And then stands up, and I guarantee you that whole box is going to collide. You might have a tight end wide open in the back of the end zone. I don't know. But
Then that's the play they should have run, but it just didn't end up being that, and it was just kind of, it's just kind of a gimmick, but the Chiefs just beat them down. 30-0 to score, largest shutout victory in a long time, the first shutout in the playoffs, on the road for like, 10 years. So it was quite the example being shown by the Chiefs. Here's a team that has now won 11 straight games, including a playoff game on the road by 30 points.
Right.
Don't want to have to face them next week. But Denver? Is it Denver? Does Denver have them, or is it
it's New England?
It's at, New England because New England. Right, because the Steelers won and they were the lowest seed.
Pittsburgh goes to Denver.
Right
now, Ben Roethlisberger says he's fine. He's got a separated shoulder apparently, and he popped that sucker back in place.
No problem.
They say he's fine.
Right shoulder. He throws right-handed, but what do you care?
Antonio Brown apparently is okay with the concussion. Is that what it was?
Well, somebody asked him. He has no idea though. He's pretty sure he's okay.
So New England, you know, is facing a hot KC team. I can't see New England losing to Kansas City, but I would love to see that. Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Wouldn't surprise. It wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't, you know, blow me away if they did. I mean, New England struggled. You know, New England is 4-6 in their last 10 games. Mm. Or no. I'm sorry. Was it 2-4 to end their year? Like the yeah. Packers mm-hmm. went 2-4 to end their last six games. So the Patriots ended on a very slow and kind of drawn out season. They milked it into the playoffs trying to stay healthy. I don't know. That'll be a different one. They will be in Foxborough, not Arrowhead. That's a huge difference, obviously, in how the game gets played. But I don't know if that defense for New England can contain Alex Smith and his fancy feet.
You see that all of a sudden?
He's running the ball like
they
crazy.
Let him go now, baby.
He's got like 600 yards rushing in the last 10 games or something. He's really pretty good right now doing that. So that's been a legitimate threat for any team facing that Chiefs offense. Now, will Jeremy Maclin be back for that game? Because he got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be. I think he's done. So that hurts.
That tight end they've got is pretty good. This is going to be
Travis Kelce.
This is
awesome.
Going to be a tight end show. Now, didn't Gronkowski call Kelce a Gronkowski wannabe or something like that at one point this year?
Know.
Didn't they?
I don't know. I think maybe
they might have even played already this year. And I remember some kind of comment about that. Kelce is a Gronkowski wannabe.
Wow, I don't know, but I'm not sure I've ever heard him say that about anybody. But that it wouldn't surprise me if he did. You know what's funny about Gronk is he hardly ever talks smack. He will talk all kinds of smack about himself and how great he is and you know, have this huge ego. But I hardly ever hear him tell you how another team doesn't rate or some player doesn't rate. I've never heard that. And here's a guy who takes shots to his knees every down. If anybody wanted to take a shot at somebody in the media, Gronkowski could. But I'm not sure I've ever heard him do that.
And then you see the commercial with his brother
So his brother's walking around with the jersey on, taking high fives and stuff.
It was Von Miller calling Travis Kelce a fake Gronk. That's
okay.
What it was.
Okay.
Von Miller.
That makes more sense. I'm not sure I've ever heard Gronk say something like that, but wouldn't surprise me if he does behind closed doors either. But that would be pretty funny. All right, so we got some big games. If you look at these things the way they level out, I think I'll take New England over Kansas City, although it's hard to imagine I'm doing that against a team that's won 11 in a row. But everybody's due for one, I guess.
Well, it's New England, too. You know they're going to be prepared. Yeah. You know they're going to be, you know, it's. I can't see how New England's going to lose that game. I mean, it'd be nice to see Kansas City win it, but I don't see how.
Do you think Pittsburgh can beat Denver?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean,
it's very possible if they're healthy enough. They both got banged up pretty bad. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger hurt.
Right,
is the end of the Pittsburgh Steelers because that's their bread and butter now. That's what they have. If those guys are injured and they have to go to Landry Jones and count on Martavis Bryant, now they're finished. But if those guys are 100% healthy or at least close to it, they could score. Some points. Now, they'll be able to hold Denver. I don't think that'll be a problem. But that Broncos defense can score on you. And in Roethlisberger and company, those guys, they turn the ball over sometimes, you know. And it's not hard to imagine this thing could get out of hand and Denver ends up easily winning it. Seattle heads into Carolina to take on the Panthers. That one's going to be an interesting game because both those teams are equal in what they bring to the table. They have opportunistic quarterbacks that make big plays. Don't necessarily play that way all game, but they make the big play. And you have two fantastic defenses. I still give the edge to Carolina, though, just because I think their defense is a little bit better. And running the football with more success. Now, who knows what we'll, if we'll see Marshawn Lynch yet. He was downgraded before the game yesterday, so he was taken out. But so you would think he'll be back this week.
The guy, the guy is it's Russell Wilson. He is amazing. And
you see that ridiculous play, the ball shoots by him. He runs back 10 yards, slides to pick up the football. Nobody's there yet to sack him. So he just gets up, runs out of the pocket, throws a 40-yard pass.
The guy's amazing. And just the way he keeps level-headed is, to me, and always ready to throw the ball. You know
it's
what
like
mean?
Schoolyard football. He's not worried.
But polished. You know what I mean? Not like the kind you see Michael Vick used to do where he would, like, you know, whatever. And then Aaron Rodgers yesterday, I saw him do a couple times where he gets out of the pocket, saves the play, and then throws the ball out of bounds. I'm like, Russell Wilson completes a damn pass.
Well, because Russell Wilson's got a receiver open.
Yeah,
you look
exactly
at those plays, you watch. Poor, I feel so bad for Rodgers because he's been the king at that for years. And I'm watching these plays, and he rolls out of the pocket, and he gets out, and he saves the play, and he extends it. And every one of his receivers is on the other side of the field and is not running across with him.
Yeah, and that's the first thing you learn as a receiver, to run, you know, to run open, basically, especially when your quarterback's in trouble or he's rolling out of the pocket or extending a play. You want to get open.
And they're not doing that.
And you got to run towards the side he's running to and make it an easier throw. You don't want to go across the field where you're, it's a harder throw for this guy. And yeah, it's amazing how that happens. But I see Wilson do it and completes the pass. I'm going, wow, man. This
all
guy,
the time. Yeah, and I think they have, that's a direct ripoff of what Rodgers was doing in Green Bay, and Wilson saying, you know what, I can do this. I can get out of the pocket. I can extend a play. If I just worked with my wide receivers and they knew where to go when I did that, then we'd have big play opportunities. And he does it all the time. So I think there's definitely a relationship there where he's worked with Baldwin and company and said, look, if I do this, this is what you guys need to do. And that was what Rodgers used to have. He's just not there anymore. It's because he's down some wide receivers, and he's down. He doesn't have a tight end. He's down. Corliss is out. He doesn't have, obviously, Jordy Nelson. I think they're playing Cobb in the wrong spot. That summed up a little bit better yesterday as we started to see him in the backfield some more and roll out. But when you look at Devontae Adams and you look at these guys, James Jones, as much as he's had a great year, it's because he's a pretty good wide receiver, and Rodgers knows where he's going to be, when he's going to be there. But he's not getting separation. He's not getting open.
No. He's always got somebody draped all over him.
Oh, and when he does catch it, there's somebody all over it.
What's going to be different this time with Green Bay and the Cardinals? What's the difference?
Nothing. Honestly, the difference will be that Aaron Rodgers and company will make it more interesting. I don't see them. You have injuries. The Badger's out.
Right.
So you have some injuries. You have some things where the Packers could find themselves in this game. When it comes down to it, it'll be the difference will be whether or not the Cardinals pass rush can force a couple mistakes by Palmer, which they did not do and have not been able to do. If they can do that and we could get a pick or something like that, because they go down and deep to, you know, so many times to John Brown throughout a game, or they throw it to Michael Floyd over the top. They take a shot all the time, the Cardinals do. If we sit a safety back there and we pick one of those, that could be a huge game changer. Otherwise, you look on the other side, I don't think this Swiss cheese offensive line that the Packers have put together where they started moving guys around. I mean, they put Treader over there. He's never played it down at left tackle. He's blindside tackle yesterday, and he just got smoked all day. That ain't going to work against Calais Campbell. I got
news for you. And then I see the Packers not being able to stop. Remember that kind of a Quasimodo draw play the Cardinals ran all day long against the Packers? They were getting 10 yards a pop on that little play. It was just like a step. He would stand up and then hand it off, and it was 10 yards.
They
got
to keep
time.
Their linebackers home, and they don't like to do that. They like to take
they
Matthews
were getting out of there
and put
sure.
Matthews on the edge of trying to create a pass rush, and they just run right up the gut on him.
Yep.
That's why we're so vulnerable against the tight end or the drag play nowadays. Is if you can get somebody across the field,
Larry Fitzgerald,
into the middle of the field, they're just sitting right there in the middle of the field, you can tear up the Packers defense. Take a break. We'll come back. We've got more sports talk after this. Stay tuned.
masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind.
Welcome back in the Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KACM. Two big things that came out of this weekend's NFL action. One was obviously the missed 27-yarder by Blair Walsh. We've seen kickers, not just lose their jobs, but their sanity over less than this. We never heard from Scott Norwood again, and that was a much harder field goal than this one. Granted, that was Super Bowl. Ray Finkel, another one.
Laces out.
Laces out. But who was the one that missed the field goal? Because there was a missed field goal.
Buffalo Bills.
It was a 49er game, but it was a blowout beyond that. It was
49er game.
In the 49er-Dolphin game.
Oh, I don't think it mattered.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't matter.
But there was somebody that was kicking back then. I just remember who it was. But that being said, Walsh is a classy guy. He took the brunt of it. He answered every question. He didn't throw it on anybody. And regardless, he says, I don't care if you put a watermelon up there or a potato or whatever, laces anywhere, at 27 yards, I should be able to kick that
sure
through.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like how, what's his name, Locke, the
holder,
says, well, I should have spun it better. He didn't spin it at all.
Yeah.
If you watch the tape, he catches it, puts it down, and laces are right back at the kicker. Now, like we were saying, 27 yards doesn't matter. You need to make that kick.
But people aren't talking about the wind. Apparently, it was strong wind going from right to left at that time. And and it was windy the whole game. That's what they were complaining about the whole game. So, whatever. Yeah, you think you're right. You're supposed to make that kick.
The other meltdown that happened to an entire team, much less one kicker, was the Bengals. The Bengals had just a complete and total meltdown in their game against the Steelers. They had multiple personal fouls, 15 yards at a clip, putting the Steelers within field goal range. Steelers kicked the field goal, win the game. The way this whole thing goes down is just ridiculous. Number one, they finally get things going to the Bengals. They get down, they score, they go up in the game. All they've got to do is hold. They're teeing off on Roethlisberger. They had already knocked him out.
Right.
Landry comes in. They're teeing off on Landry. Finally, the last drive, Roethlisberger comes back out and says, "I got to do this one for the team." So he's the quarterback again, and he throws a pick to Vontaze Burfict, to an old ASU Sun Devil. Burfict catches the ball, dives in front. It was a great play.
Right.
Catches the ball. It should do it. A minute 30-something left. You run the ball, run out the timeouts. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh had three timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So you were going to have to run a full series of plays and run all those timeouts off and probably still give the ball back with some time. But Vontaze Burfict thinks that the game's over. He just saved the day. He's going to ride off into the sunset. He runs about 70 yards the opposite way, a la Jim Marshall. People wondering, wait a minute, was he down? Did we hear a whistle? He runs through the end zone into the tunnel, figuring, well, I'll just go in here and have a beer and start to take my shower because I just iced this game. I'm so cool. Comes back out on the field. Obviously, the ball goes back to Pittsburgh after they run their timeouts. And Bumbalaya for Jeremy Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hang on to the football. He does not. Pittsburgh gets the ball back in great field position. And all they've got to do is drive a little bit to kick a field goal and maybe win this game. And there's still a minute, 20-something seconds left. So they get back out there to do it again. Vontaze Burfict gets nailed because they throw across the seam on a fourth down, and he drills Antonio Brown. Should have been the end of the game. Misses the catch, does not make the catch. The ball shoots out of his hands before Burfict ever gets there. That should have ended the game because Cincinnati would have gotten the ball back.
Ball.
And instead, Burfict throws his shoulder into the head of Antonio Brown, knocking him almost out cold from what the visual looked like on the field. He gets the call for targeting, leading to the head and neck area of the receiver, and 15 yards, automatic first down. While all this is going on, Brown's still on the ground. They're trying to revive him. CPR is performed. I'm pretty sure he had a blood transfusion. They finally get him up, and during all of this, Joey Porter comes out from the sidelines, the Steelers coach. I think he's a linebacker coach or something. He comes out in, you know, his coach clothes, his street clothes more or less, and starts getting in the face of everybody. Brown is up at this point, and Burfict pats him on the shoulder like, I didn't mean to do that. I apologize or whatever. I don't know if that's true or not. Porter's out there jawing. At that point, Adam Jones, formerly known as the Pac-Man, flies up and gets in his face and takes a shove at him. And Jones draws the foul, the flag, bumps the official, I guess, on the way to doing that. He wasn't going after the official. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like that at all. Draws another 15-yard penalty. My question to you is, obviously, we have rules in place. Burfict is that kind of a player. He's going to take shots. He's going to try and lay guys out. It's going to go neck and shoulders sometimes. I don't think he's trying to kill Antonio Brown or hurt him, but I do think he's trying to separate man from ball, like the old days.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. You draw a foul, you draw a foul. The foul that Pac-Man drew was kind of bogus. You have a coach out on the field getting into it with players.
That should have been a flag right there.
That should have been a flag. Mm-hmm. And if not, it's not a flag, then why is the Jones thing a flag? Right. Both of them should have been waved off more or less. Say, hey, yeah, both of you guys, knock it off. Joey, you get off the field. Adam, you get over there in your huddle, you know? That will cooler heads prevail kind of thing. That didn't happen. Another 15 yards, puts them right in field goal range. They don't even waste time. They just first down, just kick the field goal. 20 seconds left, they win it. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it was a meltdown of extreme proportions, from the fumble to the targeting to the personal foul to essentially losing a football game you had right in your hands. And today, we now know the fate of Marvin Lewis, a man who you and I have said needs to be fired for years and years and years. Not because we don't like Marvin Lewis, just because of what we see every year with that football team.
Right.
Whether it's bad football or it's good football with bad guys. That's what we've seen out of Cincinnati.
Reports, the arrest, the lack of discipline, everything that goes on in that.
And we have it again.
Yep.
It's out in the face of America, and yet he's guaranteed to be back next year.
Right.
They're protecting his job. I'm just not sure what Cincinnati is expecting here.
Well, they might be actually smarter than what we think. Because look around the league.
Right.
Who's better? Who are they going to get that's going to be better? Are you going to be like the Miami Dolphins who have had 10 coaches since 2009?
Yeah, no, it's a great point, yeah.
You know what I mean? So sitting there going, there's nobody that's guaranteed to be better right now. I mean, I think if they get a shot at a guy like Urban Meyer, they take it. Be honest with you.
What if you had a shot at somebody like Tom Coughlin, who's now interviewing in Philadelphia?
I mean, I think that's a good hire for a team that's
like a Philadelphia.
It's a 4-year project because he ain't going to last another 4 or 5 years. I mean, he'll be gone after that.
And he's an older guy, but if you wanted to come in and clean up your organization, that would be a guy to do it. Cincinnati might have had an opportunity there. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Talk after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM. Mike in the Crisis here with you. Don't forget that if you want the very fastest high-speed internet in the area, you can stream all the shows you want, play all the games, the apps, you name it. Do all of the web browsing your little heart desires, and that of everybody who has a cell phone or a tablet or any other device now. Get suddenly 50 megs per second download speeds. You can get high-definition TV, the SL200 HD TV package. Get that all for as little as $59 a month. I'm sorry, $69 a month. Smoking deal. Give them a call. 928-204-1085. That's suddenlink.com. 204-1085 or go to suddenlink.com. Who do you take tonight?
Clemson.
Bama. There you go. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.